Senator Bill Wielichowski of Anchorage is sponsoring Senate Bill 1, which would require employers pay their workers at least $8.75 an hour, or a dollar above the federal minimum wage, whichever is greater. Countering claims that such an increase would lead to job cuts, the Anchorage Democrats cited research on federal minimum wage increases in the late 1990s.
Before these increases, opponents, similar to what you're hearing, predicted massive job loss. Instead, the employment rates of lower wage workers actually soared to unprecedented levels. Poverty levels fell to historic lows, particularly for minority populations, the least skilled workers, and single mothers. So it had really a positive impact on the exact people that we're trying to help here. All the evidence needs to be considered as we discuss increasing Alaska's minimum wage, which is lagging far behind the rate of inflation and making life difficult for our lowest paid workers.
Under Wielichowski's measure, Alaska's new minimum wage would not remain static. It would go up each year based on the rate of inflation.
I think the problem that we have is costs for everyone increase every year, particularly for low-income Alaskans. And we know since 2003, costs have increased dramatically for fuel, for gas, for heating oil, for food. And so Alaskans are not keeping pace.
Alaska last raised its minimum wage in 2003 to $7.15 an hour, with a 40-hour work week that works out to just over $14,000 a year. And according to federal guidelines, that's only about $500 above the poverty level for a single person in Alaska. Under Wielichowski's measure, a minimum wage worker putting in 40 hours a week would make at least $3,500 a year more. Mary Darlin, a coordinator of the American Association of Retired Persons Task Force in Juneau, testified in support of the bill.
With the way that prices have gone up, as all of you are aware, it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to get by on the minimum wage. And also we want to point out the fact that you have more seniors who more than likely, or retirees, are going to be going, if not already in the workforce, back in to some of these minimum wage types of positions just because they have to. And so, therefore, we support the increase in this.
But the rest of Thursday's testimony before Labor and Commerce was from opponents of the measure, mainly people in the restaurant and hospitality industry, who said they operated on a slim margin and could not afford the increased costs without cutting jobs or losing business, especially in this economic climate. Jack Amon owns Mark's Brothers Cafe and Catering in Anchorage.
Saying that increased costs can be passed on to consumers is a fallacy. In these uncertain and troubling economic times, dining out is considered a luxury, and increasing prices can directly lead to declines in business. It seems illogical to me to put upward pressure on wages when job losses are so alarming.
Several restaurant owners objected to the bill's ban on tip credits. A tip credit allows employers to count gratuities towards the payment of the minimum wage, the idea being that employers can pay below minimum wage to waitstaff who make far more than the minimum wage in tips. Bruce Burnett is the owner of the TGI Fridays franchise in Anchorage.
This industry needs a tip credit drastically. We cannot live with this bill the way that it is. You will lose many hundreds of jobs. I haven't done a study on it. I don't know how many, but I'm sure it's many hundreds of jobs without a tip share credit being passed in this state.
The committee didn't take a vote on Thursday. They held the bill. It's also been referred to Senate Finance. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.